Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I am going away and I will come back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord. The Lord tells us this morning that he gives us his peace. I leave you my peace I give you. Not as the world gives it to you do I give it to you. And I often am led to wonder what exactly is meant by peace. And perhaps as the beginning of an understanding, a definition, we might say that peace is sort of a lack of conflict or the resolution of conflict, or that when there's harmony within ourselves or within our relationship with others, that when we don't have peace is when there's some conflict within ourselves or some conflict between each other. When I think about peace, though, there's two quotes that always kind of come to mind, and they're a bit ironic because I think we would look at peace and war as antithetical realities, but two quotes that come to my mind when I think of peace. One is an old Roman adage or proverb that says, "If you want peace, prepare for war." And I think Rome lived out that saying very well. We can see in history. They established probably the greatest period and widest period of peace in human history, but they did it through conquest and through perpetual war until they finally established the Roman peace, the Pax Romana. If you want peace, prepare for war. And if we look at just a couple examples in history, even our recent history, in some sense that reality is borne out. If we look at World War I, in one sense we could say maybe part of the problem of World War I is that Europe was too ready for conflict, too eager to launch into war. But then at the end of World War I, a peace was established, but I think we would say it was a bad peace. And most historians look back now and say that the peace that was established really was always leaning towards another and even bigger conflict. But then you fast forward a couple decades, and you see Europe that remembers all of the war and all the awfulness of the First World War, the Great War, and they wanted to avoid another war at all costs. And so one of the sort of tragedies of history is the Prime Minister of England, Neville Chamberlain, for quite a while, he continually handed entirely unreasonable and even criminal claims that Adolf Hitler was making to the territory around him. But he did it all in the name of peace. And, you know, when he would go to a conference and allow Hitler to annex another country, you know, to just simply grasp Czechoslovakia in the interest of peace, he was celebrated when he came home to London. You know, people were waiting to greet him and cheering in the streets because he'd preserved peace. But we can look back in history and say that was a bad peace, right? That an authentic peace wasn't established. And in order to get to the harmony that we needed, in order to get to the peace that we needed, the conflict had to actually be faced head on, right? So in some sense, I think history bears out this notion that if you want peace, prepare for war. Now, the second quote that comes to mind really is probably more relevant to us today because please don't think that I'm warmongering up here. I'm not advocating violent conflict, but the second quote comes from St. Jose Maria Escriva, and he says, I should have memorized this quote, but I'm going to paraphrase. He says, "Peace and war are intimately connected, and that peace is the fruit of victory. It's the fruit of constant struggle. Without that constant struggle, you can't have peace." Now, of course, St. Jose Maria Escrivá is writing about spiritual realities when he talks about this war, this conflict. He's talking about a spiritual peace. So it's more, kind of more to our purposes. And let me give you a few examples of how this reality is true. Let's start with our relationships with one another. If we want authentic peace, if we want an authentic harmony between ourselves, sometimes conflict is actually unavoidable. And sometimes conflict has to be seen through. Right? Maybe the most common place that many of you experience this would be in your relationship with your spouses or other family members or friends. I've never had the pleasure of fighting with my spouse, but I have had conflict with close friends. And sometimes when there are hurts and there are misunderstandings, there really is no way to get to a resolution without pushing through conflict. Now, some people argue, some people have, you know, they fight well, some people fight poorly and make things worse. But the point is, we've all experienced a bad peace in a relationship, right? Which is where we're arguing, we're at conflict, and we get to a point where just to walk away from the problem, we say, you know what, let's just drop it and let it go. And maybe inauthentic sorries are exchanged. And we feel within ourselves that this is not really peace. Like we're not really in harmony with each other. This conflict isn't resolved, and the distance and the antipathy still exists between us, and maybe is even a little bit worse because we were unable to persist through to the resolution of this conflict. We're unable to endure the unpleasantness of sort of being at each other so that we can get through it and be with each other. Conversely, the experience of coming to an authentic resolution where there's a true understanding and where maybe both people are able to say, you know, I'm really sorry and I mean it, you can actually feel the difference in your heart. You can feel the resolution. You can feel the easing of the tension and the reintegration as everything kind of clicks back into place. But you can't get there if you skip the conflict. Right? If when that moment of disagreement arises, you just say, you know what, let's just consider this topic off limits because it's too unpleasant when it comes up. If we do that, we never get to authentic peace. Similarly, we look at virtues and vices. If you struggle with lust and you feel a conflict in your heart every time your lust is provoked, a wrong path to trying to choose peace, to get rid of that struggle, is to just give in to what's tempting you. To say, like, well, I'll just kind of take the edge off because I can't handle the tension of the temptation that I'm under. Now, the only true way to peace with regard to our desires is to discipline them, to fight those battles and to see them through and to conquer ourselves. Only then do we have authentic peace. Every time we give into it, thinking we're taking the edges off, we're actually just making it worse. We're deepening the interior conflict, and we're allowing our sin to kind of master us more and more. Another really common sin, I would say, is the sins of the tongue, you know, gossip, detraction, slander. Maybe we feel a tension within ourselves when a conversation comes up about somebody that maybe we know something really interesting about, or maybe we don't like, and we can almost feel like it's burning in our hearts to say what we want to say. Like it's actually physically painful for us to hold our tongue and keep our mouth shut. But if we seek the resolution of that conflict by saying it, by attacking this person's reputation, by sharing information we shouldn't share, we don't actually find peace. In fact, we find more discord within ourselves and we end up worse off than we were before. My room has been, in the rectory, has been getting increasingly messy for a while, and I hadn't cleaned in months. And every time Saturday is my day off, and every Saturday I feel like I should clean my room, and there was a tension in my heart. And Saturday after Saturday, I said, "Well, I'm going to go do something else instead." And the tension was never resolved. I had to actually clean up my room before I could walk in and say, "Okay, now my house is literally in order, and I feel that peace." There was one last example, better than my dirty room one, that. But I don't think we need it. I think we get the idea, right? When we feel a conflict within ourselves, the only way to authentic peace is to win that conflict. If there's disorder within ourselves, the only authentic way to peace is to put ourselves in order. And that can be painful, and it can require a struggle. But that's why Jose Maria told us, peace is the fruit of victory. And without constant struggle, there is no peace. But One last step, let's go just a little bit deeper, because Jesus tells us, I give you my peace. My peace I give you. So what is his peace? I don't know that I could fully say all that could be contained in Jesus' notion of his peace. I don't know that's possible, and we certainly don't have time. But one thing I think we could say is his peace is the peace of a son in right relationship with the Father. And this is the truest peace there is. This is actually the peace that in the depths of our heart we're seeking in everything else that we seek. Every other good that we seek, what we're really seeking, whether we realize it or not, is right relationship with the Father. And that's the peace that he offers us, right? And our Lord, he conquered sin, he conquered death, he conquered those things which set us at odds with the Father. He overcame, and he offers his victory to us. He offers to invite us into his victory. He overcame those things that separate us from the Father, that keep us far from the Father. And he invites us into his sonship. He invites us into his relationship with his Father. And I believe this when I tell you, it may sound hokey, but I believe with all my heart that the disorder of our relationship with the Father, the fact that we are not in harmony with our Father, is the root of all the disorder in the world. All of the lack of peace within ourselves, between each other, and between all the nations of the world, all the conflict in the world has at its deepest root the fact that we are estranged from and not in right relationship with our Father. So then what is all this, you know, I just spent 10 minutes talking about, you know, fighting to establish peace. What does that mean for us spiritually? It means this. All of us, I'm confident in saying this, all of us in some way struggle in our relationship with our Father. All of us in some ways have bought into lies or something that tell us, the Father doesn't really love me. I'm not good enough for the Father. The Father can't possibly be pleased with me. That's one that I struggle with for a long time, just to share with you. I struggled with a long time. It was impossible for me to believe. My spiritual director would tell me, I want you to pray about the fact that the Father is pleased with you. Like, that can't be possible. I'm not pleasing, right? Or maybe it's a trust. Maybe it's a trust that the Father, somewhere deep in my heart, I don't trust that the Father really has my best interest in mind. I don't trust that he really will take care of me. I don't trust that he really loves me in a special way. I don't trust that he's going to give me what I need. I don't trust that if I hand my life over to him, my life isn't going to go down the drain and be a waste, right? But at the root of all of our disorder is some sort of brokenness in our relationship with the Father. And I believe this is the peace above all. This is the peace that Jesus Christ offers us. And a quote comes to mind from, it was Pope Benedict quoting St. Josephine Bakita, who had been a slave before she discovered Jesus Christ and became a Christian. And she said that she had found this love, and she knows she's loved by the Father, and that this love awaits her. And therefore, whatever happens, her life is good. And if we can come to that point in our spiritual lives, and that only comes through struggles, brothers and sisters, it only comes through the hard and painful work of finding out where our wounds are and asking the Lord to heal him and allowing the Lord to heal those wounds. It only comes with allowing the Lord to lovingly restore us to right loving relationship with him that we can truly say that my Father loves me, that he will provide for me, that he won't abandon me, and that love is what I desire most in the world, and it's the center of my life. Then and only then will we be truly at peace. Then and only then we'll be able to have proper order and peace within ourselves. Then and only then will we be able to be in right relationship with the other, because we'll already be in possession of the deepest desire of our hearts. And so we won't need to seek our happiness in the other. And that leaves us free not to seize and hold on to them, but to love with freedom and with a certain detachment, right? That it's the peace of being in right relationship with our Father. That's the peace that Jesus Christ gives us, and it's the only true peace that we can find in our lives.